If the donkey would have made sounds, the legions, the soldiers would have realized that there are people there. The same is true if the fire would have burnt and if the rooster would have emitted its melodies. So this was good. Hashem kol ma'adavid rachmana l'tavavid. In Masechta Brachos, there's the famous story with Nachamish Gamzu. In fact, the term Gamzu l'tayva, this is for the good, is a paraphrase, is a quote from the Gemara in Tainis. The Gemara in, this is in Brachos. The Gemara in Tainis, the story with Nachamish Gamzu. There was a Yid whose name was Nachum Ish Gamzu. They called him Ish Gamzu because this person would always say Gamzu L'Tayva. This is also for the good. And there's the classical story in Masechta Tainis that once the Roman Emperor issued forth a decree against the Jewish people, and they sent Nachum Ish Gamzu to go and intervene on behalf of the Jewish community that the decree should be nullified. And they sent a present to the king, together with Nachum Ish Gamzu, a box full of very precious gems and diamonds and so forth. At night, he stopped over at an inn. And one of the inn workers realized that this person has a treasure, so middle of the night, he took the box, and he took out the gems, and he filled it up with earth, with sand. Nachum Ish Gamzu wakes up in the morning, he opens the box, he sees it's full of sand, he says, Gamzu L'Tayva, this is also for the good. He comes to the Roman Emperor and he presents the present and he requests from His Majesty to nullify the decree. The king opens the box and he sees sand. He begins shouting, you want to embarrass me? And he throws Nachum Ish Gamzu into a dungeon. Thereupon, one of his servants, the Talmud says that it was Eliyahu HaNavi, turns to the Emperor and says, you think the Jews lost their senses? They are wise people. I'm sure that the sand is very productive and useful because the Jews have a tradition that Avraham Avinu defeated his enemies very successfully. What was his method? He had unique sand that had the power of defeating enemies. They were more powerful than arrows and so forth. Why don't you try it out? So the emperor decided he'll give it a chance. Rome was then, as usually, involved in battle and war. They used the sand, and the sand worked in an extraordinary fashion against the enemy. They were successful in the war. He immediately liberated Nachum Ish Gamzu. He nullified the decree. He filled up his box and other boxes with even more gems, and he sent them back joyfully to the Jewish people. And Nachum Ish Gamzu says, Gamzu L'Tayva, this is good. These are stories in the Gemara where, at the surface, the event seemed evil and negative in both cases. But these two Jews, as a result of their belief that Hashem is good and everything comes from Hashem, they can really say, Kol Davar Rachmana L'Tavavit, and Gamzu L'Tayva, and Bibisimch. But truth be told, when we read these stories, we have difficulty relating to it for two reasons. A, in both of these cases, we feel there is some miraculous element to it that happens to Rabbi Akiva and to Nachum Ish Gamzu, where the sand becomes the sand of Avraham Avinu, and the servant is Eliyahu HaNavi, and so on and so forth. In addition to that, in these cases, the good came out very swiftly. The next morning, Rabbi Akiva realized how beautiful it was. Nachum Ish Gamzu, a few days later, he realized how wonderful and extraordinary it was. But there are issues with Bana Chayil Mezayna that can sometimes be very negative. And the negativity can obviously last for a long time and have long-term implications and sometimes have consequences for a whole life and for future lives. And we don't have to dwell over here at the moment about the tragedies that befall human beings in the world, day after day. You just open up a newspaper and you listen to the radio, and sometimes you can become insane. And the primary issue is, how can you tell a human being to really be mekabel b'simcha? To really be mekabel b'simcha. So the explanation the Alter Rebbe presents here is a far deeper explanation than is usually discussed in this issue. And it's based again on the extreme doctrine introduced in Chassidus, actually emphasized in Chassidus, not introduced in Chassidus, about how far the implications of Hashgacha Pratis, of divine providence, go. The Alter Rebbe says we have to understand that there are two worlds. There is a hidden world and there is a revealed world. Almadis, Galia and Almadis Kasya. Almadis Galia is the world that we inhabit. And it includes also spiritual worlds, but these spiritual worlds are characterized by revelation, by projection. There is other worlds, Almadis Kasya. Almadis Kasya are hidden, concealed worlds. All existence derives its energy and life from Hashem. So Hashem's name consists of four letters, and Yutke gives rise to Almadis Kasya, Vavke gives rise to Almadis Kasya, to Almadis Galia. In Kabbalah and Chassidus, Yud is the embodiment of Chachma, of conception. He is the embodiment of Bina, of comprehension. Thus, Yud is a Nekuda. Yud is a small, occupies a small space, versus He symbolizes an expansion of that space. Just as comprehension expands the point of Chachma, as discussed in previous chapters at length. Vav, which is a straight line, embodies and is symbolic of the emotions of a human being, the six emotions, Vav, six emotions, which extend. This is not the intelligence of man, but his emotional elements. And finally, the final He exemplifies Malchut, which is the energy of regality and royalty, which is connected to man's ability of communication to others. It's connected to man's charisma and relationship to others, including communication and oratory skills. Malchus is connected to Dibur and so forth. The point being that Chachma and Bina, in the realm of Chachma and Bina, we are usually disconnected from our surroundings. You see, human beings who are very brainy and involved in wisdom are usually in isolation, lack social skills. The more a human being is in touch with his emotions, the more he connects to it with his environment. On the contrary, wisdom thrives in isolation. Emotions flourish in connections with other people and environments and so forth. The Yud and the Kei, in Hashem himself, so to speak, there are also these two elements. There is the concept of God as He is isolated, the very intimate self of Hashem, which transcends His involvement in creation. We learned in Perek Chaf, Hashem is a speaker, He creates a world. Hashem is also a thinker. But beyond that, just like in every human being, you cannot define a human being by the fact that he gave a good speech. We should hope that a human being has more than the fact that he gives good speeches. A person thinks, a person feels, a person understands. There is an inner ocean of personality that transcends our PR elements. Public relations is an important component of life, but it's not everything. When you meet someone and that person talks to you, you do not know what is going on in his life. There's an intimacy that transcends our PR element. In Hashem himself, so to speak, there are also these two elements. There is the aspect of Yvavke, which is his more exterior element, as he contracted himself and limited himself in forms that relate to the universe and create a universe and so forth. But then there is a Yutke, which is Hashem's intimate self. The Vavke produces Almadis Galia, revealed world. The Yutke produces Almadis Kasya, which is an extremely concealed world. When Almadis Kasya comes into our world, it's dark. In Chassidus is a fabulous explanation. In the morning we say, every morning, Yitzir Oir Uvoirei Chayshech. Hashem forms light and creates darkness. in the four spiritual worlds, there is Asiya is the lowest, action. Beyond it is Yitzira, the world of formation. Beyond it is Briya, the world of creation. Beyond it is the world of Atzilus, the world of closeness. Oir is attributed to Yitzir. Choshech is attributed to Boire. Apparently light is beyond darkness. Darkness is inferior to light. But concerning Oir, we say Yitzir. Concerning Choshech, we say Boire Choshech. Furthermore, in Halacha, in Jewish tradition, when we say Yitzir, what do? We touch our tefillin shel yad. When we say Boire Choshech, we touch our tefillin shel rosh. The holiness of tefillin shel rosh transcends the sanctity of tefillin shel yad. So tefillin shel yad is connected with light, and tefillin shel rosh, whose sanctity transcends tefillin shel yad, is connected to darkness. So the Alter Rebbe explains, for an inhabitant of Almedes Galia, when he is or she is given an energy of the world of Yitzira, it's light. When this same person is given an energy of the world of Briya, it's absolute darkness. Because since it comes from a very deep and concealed place, this creature's parameters were not fashioned and are not vessels and receptacles to be able to receive it as is. When you look, you're saying when someone looks directly at the sun, because of its intensity, our eyes are not receptacles to be able to receive the direct light of the sun. By way of illustration, in a teacher and a student, you know, sometimes the teacher teaches a student. And if the teacher is a brilliant genius, he knows so much more than the student. But if he wants that the student should understand, he must limit his knowledge and contract his wisdom and give parables and metaphors that the student should be able to understand. So for years and years, he gives the student information and the student understands it. But then there comes a time when the teacher wants to give the student something of his intimate wisdom. And he gives him a class or a lecture where he projects what he knows on the deepest level. And what happens at the end of the class? What does the student feel? I have not understood one word. Of course you haven't understood one word. He took him into his own circle, his inner circle. He gave him that element. He gave him that element, that mystery, that transcendental energy. He took him into that circle. And for his world, that's destructive because he comes from a much lower world. When that inner self comes out, it's beyond, it transcends your parameters. It overwhelms your parameters. You didn't understand one word. So when an energy of Almedes Galia comes into our life, it's immediately, whatever it is immediately visible and conspicuous. When we have a relationship with Almedes Kasya, with the concealed world, here the Alter Rebbe says, the good is not revealed, is inconspicuous, is invisible, because the good stems from the world of concealment which transcends infinitely our world. And therefore, when this good comes into our world, what does it look like? It looks like bad. It looks like negativity. It doesn't have that veneer of goodness and beauty and harmony and so forth. How can a human being accept it besimcha? Because this human being, for him, being near to Hashem is more precious than all of the life of Olam Hazeh. And the nearness of Hashem is much more in Almedes Galia. The nearness and intimacy and bond with Hashem is infinitely greater in Almedes Kasya, much more than in Almedes Galia. Yoyshev b'seisir elyon. And therefore this person is actually sameach with the fact that he has a relationship with Almedes Kasya. there is a level, but this is not the level that Alter Rebbe is describing here. Where the human being is so spiritual and so refined, so godly, that he doesn't experience it as Yisurim. For example, there was a Jew who came to the Mezritch Maggid, the Rebbe of the Alter Rebbe, the mentor of the Alter Rebbe. He had very many difficulties and challenges in his life. And he asked the Maggid, how can I be joyous in my life? How can I be besimcha? So the Maggid said, for that you have to go to my student, Reb Zusha of Anapoli, the Holy Rebbe Reb Zusha. So he went to the Rebbe Reb Zusha, and he asked Reb Zusha, he says, can I stay with you for a few days? Reb Zusha said, with gladness. Besimcha, please come in. He goes into the home. Gewalt. I was Reb Zusha poverty stricken. Reb Zusha, first of all, physically was a very ill person. He was very weak and ill. He was poverty stricken. He did not have a penny to his name. Unfortunately, the circumstances of Eastern Europe was very often that Jews were extremely, extremely poor, not like today. There were no normal beds to sleep on, no normal chairs to sit on. The roof was caving in, the furniture was broken. There was very little food at home. But Reb Zusha was a happy human being. So the person is thinking to himself, oh, he will certainly be able to explain to me how he manages to do it. So after a few days, Reb Zusha says, "New Rebbe, why'd you come? What brings you to this city?" He says, "I'll tell you. Your Rebbe sent me to you." "Why did he send me? Why did he send you to me?" Reb Zusha asks him. "I was seeking advice how you can be a joyous person in the midst of difficult circumstances and challenges and experiences." So the Rebbe said, "For that, I have to come to you, and you'll be able to explain it to me." Reb Zusha looked astonished. He was totally astonished and flabbergasted. He says, "To tell you the truth, I cannot even conceive of a reason why the Rebbe sent you to me. I never experienced suffering in my life." You got the wrong address. This is the level of Reb Zusha, where initially there was no dichotomy. Since he was so godly, so whatever Hashem gave him was initially, it wasn't deemed suffering. That's, in this itself, it's a deeper level. The primary level that Alter Rebbe is addressing is Chayiv Adam Levarech Al Hara Kashem Shemavarech Al HaTayva. He can call this Ra and call this Taiva. Call this good fortune and call this misfortune. And nevertheless, he can ultimately experience Simcha. So what is the Alter Rebbe saying? If we can make it personal a little bit. You know, a human being who experienced pain, especially real pain, is very, very lonely. There's a loneliness there. Because pain is experienced in isolation. My pain, no one else has. Your pain, no one else has. Pain is a place where we are all very lonely. And everyone knows that in their life, especially when you talk sometimes to a person who experienced real pain. If you allow yourself to be sensitive and you humble yourself when you listen to the other person, pain is one place in life where people are very lonely, where a person is lonely. Says the Alter Rebbe, you know why pain is so lonely? Because it comes from the lonely place of God. It comes from the place where Hashem is very lonely. Comes from Hashem also has a place where he's lonely. We don't think of reality in those terms usually, but by the Yoshev B'Seser Elyon, the Elyon is in Seser. It's the mystery element of Hashem.
And when Hashem gives pain to a human being, they both went in. Hashem took him into his lonely chamber. And it's tragic. The Alter Rebbe is not saying it's not tragic. But everyone also knows that human beings who experience pain have a relationship with God like no other people. No other people have that relationship. It's tragic to say, but people learn about God through pain, not through tranquility. And if someone could be besimcha in this situation, you know what he's showing? What is it? How can he be besimcha? He can be besimcha because he redefined his life. For him, what is really important in life, what he's thankful for is, he has God. He has kirvas Hashem. He has the closeness to Hashem. Says the Alter Rebbe, there is nothing in life that's not good. Everything in life is good. It comes from Hashem. Hashem personally gave this situation and circumstance to you individually. But there is Hashem's PR element and dynamic. And when he gives you something from there, it's magnificent, it's obviously and conspicuously good, and everyone sees that it's good and everyone celebrates it. Then there's Hashem taking you into his lonely chamber, to Alma Deskasya. And in this world, it's very dark, that. In the world of Alma Deskalya, in the limited, finite, defined world, when that element is revealed to us, the language is totally concealing. I was sitting a few Shabbosim ago. There was a Jew whom I know well. Who lost his wife at a very young age, with 11 children. The youngest child was a boy of 3 months. The oldest child was a son of 14. She passed away, I believe, in 1986. A few Shabbosim ago, her yahrzeit is in Nissan. It was a Shabbos, it was the day before his wife's yahrzeit. And there was a Sheva Brachas of one of his sons that got married now. And he assembled his whole family. And he spoke to them. And this is what he said. In these words, he says, you know, when tragedy strikes a person, when a person is afflicted by pain, he says, when I lost my wife with 11 little children, there's two attitudes. One attitude is, you turn to God and you say, you busted me, I'll bust you. You played with me, I'll play with you. You say goodbye to him. You say goodbye to him. You say goodbye to the world. You say goodbye to trust, to faith. He says, and no one will blame you if you do that. You have the right. You're allowed to have that attitude. You paid a price for it. That's fine. You can do that. But it's not the real thing to do. He says, you have another option. And what's the other option? He says, you see what happened. He says, we grow up and we're taught that God is our best, is our friend. He's an ally. Officially, a friend is supposed to do good for you. So, as long as life is more or less good, there's no problem. God is a friend. Okay, so you have a cold, you get fever, you get stitched. No, this problem, that problem. Your license is suspended. Mela, it doesn't destroy your friendship with them. But then comes a day when you're the one who was supposed to be your best friend busts you seriously. So what happens then? So the first option is, I thought you were a friend. And you say goodbye to him, and your heart fill becomes stone-like, and that negative feeling accompanies you for the rest of your life, he tells his children. He says, is a second option. The second option is, dig deeper and create a relationship with God on a new level, on a deeper level. Discover his friendship here. He says, and this requires a whole other type of work. He says, but what you did now, you were loyal to yourself. And you were loyal to reality. You didn't allow this to become a cover-up. Again, a human being who doesn't have these challenges is difficult to talk about. We must remain silent in this presence. A person in pain, it's an experience of the unfathomable mystery of Hashem. Alma diskasi, you don't talk about. Alma disgalia, you talk about. Alma disgalia is a place where words are reduced to insignificance, because words were originated in the PR world. That's the reason why words can't relate to someone in pain, because he's connected now to Alma disgalia. To a person in pain, you can relate to only if you identify with them, if you're emotionally there, not if you say words. Don't intrude. Don't bring in the vulgarness of Alma Disgalia to the sacredness of Alma Disgasia. Don't bring in the crudeness of the media to the intimacy of a human being who just connected with the intimate, lonely part of Hashem. It's insensitive. When someone approaches a person in pain, Alter Rebbe is saying, you're approaching, in a certain sense, a very sacred, holy place. You're entering into a certain type of Kodesh HaKadoshim, of Alma Deskasya. In Kodesh HaKadoshim, the Kohen Gadol went in once a year, Yom Kippur. And if you would go more than once a year, it was the cessation of life. Because our vessels, our body, is not a keli for that energy. So when a human being experiences Yisurim, this world, the pattern of this world is not a vessel for it. It's destructive for this world. It's negative in this world. It's dark in this world. So a person who says, who digs deeper, and discovers God in his intimate level, he's sameach b'yisurim, he is ayavav. Hashem calls him, you're a true friend. And what he appreciates in life is more than physical pleasure. He appreciates intimacy with Hashem. That's a true friend. A true friend doesn't mean accompany the friend when he's going on vacation. A true friend is where you appreciate his presence and his company more than pleasure. Then you're a friend. The ayav of this human being wants kirvas Hashem. Yaisir mikol chaya elam hazeh. Says the Alter Rebbe, yaisir b'seisir elyon. The elyon of Hashem is in seisir. It's in darkness. It's in concealment. The tachtoin is revealed, but the elyon of Hashem is yaisir b'seisir. And now we understand, and this is the final point, why the Gemara says that Oyhavav, those who love him, shall be as the sun when it comes out in its might. The Gemara says in the Darim in various places that the sun has a nartik. The sun has a cover. In recent years, by the way, I've seen in some scientific Jewish journals extensive discussion about some possible scientific explanations for that. Yeah. The Chama has a nartik. The Gemara says, we can only appreciate the sun due to the fact that it has a nartik. Due to the fact that it has a covering. Because if the Chama would rid itself from its nartik, we would not be able to, be receptive to the intensity of the light of the sun. Zog the Gemara, La Asid Lave HaKadosh Baruch Hu Maitzi Chama Menartik. When Mashiach comes, Hashem will remove the seeth from the sun. So the Pshatting Gemara Alter Rebbe is saying, "V'oyhavav kitzeis Hashemesh begvurasai. Oyhavav, the smeichim beyisurim will enjoy the sun when it comes out in its might." Now we understand the Gemara crystal clear. The sun itself is similar to Alma Deskasya. But us in this world, due to our low level, so to speak, to our physical, mundane nature and character, we cannot appreciate the sun in its full might. We need a nartik. But those Jews who were ayavav, those Jews who even in this world, they were smeichim be yisurim, because they said, we want the sun itself. We're happy with the sun itself. Even though it means in this world revealed negativity. But I don't want the nartik. I want the chama. I'm happy with the chama because I have the real thing. So then, la'asid lavoi, when Hashem takes out the chama, when Alma Deskasya is revealed, these human beings will be able to bask and bathe in Alma Deskasya in a revealed way. Because when Mashiach comes, Alma Deskasya will be revealed in Alma Desgalya, which means this world will operate in Alma Deskasya. So a human being who his whole life despised Alma Deskasya, he wanted only something that Alma Desgalya was comfortable with. Once Alma Deskasya is revealed, this person cannot find a place there. But the human being who was mistaifiv b'tziloi, who was ready to find shelter in the shadow, b'tziloi, in the shadow of the sun, b'tzeil ha-chachma, and Alter Rebbe says it was a shadow then, because then it was not conspicuous light, then it was dark, a shadow is dark. Then we didn't have the light of Alma Deskasya, you had the shadow of Alma Deskasya, the shadow of wisdom. And he emphasizes b'tzeil ha-chachma because yudke is chachma. Parenthetically, tzeil, Chassidus says, the Alter Rebbe says elsewhere, tzeil is the numerical value of tzeil, 90 and 30 is what? 120. What's the significance of 120? The word Elohim has five letters, and thus it can have 120 configurations. Two letters can have two configurations. Aleph Beis can be Aleph Beis, Beis Aleph. Three letters have six configurations. Aleph Beis Gimel, Beis Aleph Gimel, Gimel Beis Aleph, Beis Aleph Gimel, and so forth. Four letters have 24 configurations. The Tzirufim of Shem Aleikim are 120. Aleph, Lamed, Hey, Yud, and Mem, and so it goes on and on and on. When the Mashiach comes, Hashem will wipe away a tear from every face. Dima is the numerical value of what? Dima is 120. Ayin 70, Mem 40, Dalet and Hey is 9. 119. It's lacking. 119, it's lacking one element of 120. The Pasuk says in Tilim Peidalet, Kishemesh Umagin Hashem Aleikim, Havaya Aleikim, Shem Yutke Vavke is Shemesh, Aleikim is the Magin of the Shemesh. There is the sun, and there is the concealer of the sun. Aleikim is the numerology of Hateva, nature. Nature conceals godliness. That's why it's 86. Hateva is 86. Shemesh is the revelation of Yutke Vavke. Magain is Elohim. Tzeil is a product of Elohim dynamic. The shadow is because now there is a nartik, because Alma Deskasya is inferior, so therefore we only have the shadow. The reason that there are tears is because the human being does not realize that it's Elohim. It's Kuf Yud Tes, he's missing the last component. When Mashiach comes, it will be revealed that it was from Alma Deskasya, and it was just concealed because it needs a nartek. So automatically the tears that accompany it will be wiped away. So the point being is that this human being was ready to bask in the shadow of Almudas Kasha. So therefore, when the sun comes out in its full might, he will be zeicha to bask in it and to marvel in it and to bathe in it in a revealed and most powerful way, because Bizman Hazeh, when it was concealed, he was from those human beings that was smeichim b'Yisur.
And this is the reason it's unbelievable that in Alter Rebbe's discourses on Parshas Bechukosai and Parshas Kisavoi, those are the two most negative parshas in the whole Torah. Parshas Bechukosai, the Teichicha is Hashem admonishes and rebukes the Jewish people and discusses harsh punishments that will come upon them, that will descend upon them as a result of their transgressions. If you open up the Torah, Parshas Bechukosai, you know what Alter Rebbe says? Be'etzem kol ha-parsha kulis brachas. Every word in Parshas Bechukosai is a blessing. It's such deep blessings, may Alma diskasya, that the phraseology that the Torah uses must be such negative phraseology. Can't be any other way. And he goes on and he explains how this is essentially an expression of the deepest blessings, the deepest spiritual blessings. But they're so deep that they're expressed in terminology and phraseology that apparently have exactly the opposite connotation. If you read Parshas Bechukosai and Parshas Kisavoi, they're very tragic parshas. What do you mean? No, why? No, that's a good shaila. Oh, that's another element. You're asking, l'chorda, there's another element. There's a concept where a human being has transgressed, and as a result of that, he has abused his soul and his life and his potentials. And sometimes there is pain that comes to a person's life in order to cleanse him. But then it's not a bigger bracha than if you were never dirty in the first place. Yeah. But in that element, then of course a person could understand that gamzu l'tayva. Because as a result of that, he's being cleansed. Then for sure gamzu l'tayva. Beyond this, and sometimes there is such pain that with all avedis and with all transgressions, it's unfathomable. So here is what Alter Rebbe addresses this. Yeah. One is the Mittler Rebbe was a child before Bar Mitzvah, the son of the Alter Rebbe. The Alter Rebbe was the Balkari in Shul on Shabbos. He would read the Torah. It was Parshas Kisavoi. The Alter Rebbe went away that Shabbos, so they got another Balkari to read the Torah. It was the middle of Parshas Kisavoi. The Mittler Rebbe was 12 years old. When he came to the Teichicha, the Mittler Rebbe fainted. And he fell ill. And he fell so ill, this was Elul, Parshas Kisavoi is the month of Elul, that it was difficult for him to fast in Yom Kippur. The Mittler Rebbe was such a sensitive, spiritual, godly soul, he read what's going to happen to the Jewish people, that it broke him totally. So they asked him, we don't understand. Every year the Alter Rebbe reads the same Parsha. So the Mittler Rebbe said, when the Tata leint, Herzich nishkin klalus. When my father reads, I don't hear any curses. Have a wonderful and a freilich avach.
Rabbi Jacobson delivers this weekly class on the Tanya at Heichal Menachem in the Borough Park section of Brooklyn, New York. To order additional tapes or albums, please call Heichal Menachem at 718-633-1076.